This City Wire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. Scottish Mortgage is considered the flagship trust of Edinburgh-based investment managers Baillie Gifford and is the UK's largest investment trust. As with any investment, please note capital is at risk. To find out more, please visit scottishmortgageit.com.
Hello, my name's John Schaefer and welcome to The Wealth Show from CityWire. In this episode, I spoke with Michael Scott, manager of the Man GLG High Yield Opportunities Fund. Michael looks at which regions are offering the best rewards at the lower end of the debt market, and he speaks about some of the poorer quality issuances that have entered into the high yield space recently. It's worth noting that this podcast was recorded before Russia's invasion of Ukraine last week. Well, Mike, thanks for joining me. Your performance has been pretty impressive compared with the peer group over 1 and 3 years. What's driven that performance?
There's been a plethora of different return drivers that are really responsible for the return performance of the fund over the past 3 years. And I think very much that has been driven by the flexible approach that I employ when managing with which I manage this fund. I think in terms of why flexibility is key, it enables me to focus on what I think are the best risk-adjusted opportunities at any point in time, as opposed to being constrained by a benchmark. Pre and during and post-COVID worlds have been very different environments in which to be an investor. So I think as we came into the COVID crisis, I really started to focus on business models and sectors that we had very strong belief in their ability to weather the effective closing of economies. Typically, I was focusing on at that point in time businesses with strong online resale channels or telcos and cable operators, which clearly, given the state of the world was immersed in lockdown, was certainly likely to benefit in the COVID-driven sort of lockdowns. Fairly quickly, however, it became very apparent that the policies that were being enacted would lead to a very different would have very different economic consequences than what we maybe saw post GFC. Policies were gargantuan in size and in our view would have significant impact on the real economy. And ultimately, I started to focus on businesses that would benefit from the world after lockdown and a fairly vigorous V-shaped recovery, which is indeed what we saw. But the focus certainly was on metals and mining businesses, particularly copper producers, oil and gas businesses, particularly on the production side of things, where we had a very strong view that the businesses would enter into a much more favourable operating environment.
High yield as a sector in general has performed pretty well over the past year compared to perhaps some other debt sectors. But do you think it's a bit overvalued now?
I wouldn't say that the asset class is overvalued per se. I think there are some very interesting opportunities that can be found within the asset class. And indeed, I think you need to employ a flexible approach to be able to focus on those opportunity sets. And indeed, what we think is likely to prevail this year is a higher dispersionary regime. And what do we think now? We think that is primarily driven by a slowing economic backdrop and also tighter monetary policy. And indeed, our focus is certainly, or my focus is certainly on cash generation and businesses that have relatively stable end demand, where we think the businesses can continue to generate healthy free cash flow and ultimately pay coupons and repay debt. That's in conjunction with moving away from cyclical, highly levered and operationally geared businesses, which we think will struggle to generate cash and offset what we see is a higher cost inflationary environment.
And moving on to this higher cost inflationary environment, how do you think the sector in general will perform under more severe inflationary conditions?
Well, as I say, I think that there'll be higher dispersion in valuations between, you know, business models that are that can adapt and can generate free cash flow and offset cost increases through passing those on to their customers. To those that can't. So, you know, businesses in commoditized, often cyclical sectors, we think will struggle to pass on those cost increases. Whilst, you know, areas such as healthcare, consumer staples, and telcos, we think will fare rather better.
How many Fed rate hikes are you anticipating this year, and what do you think that will do to your returns and high yield?
I think there's a risk to fewer rate hikes than there are to more rate hikes than are currently priced by the market. So, the market is looking for a 25 basis point increase at each Fed meeting, which effectively is, six hikes by the end of the year. I think, the risks are, I think that's very fully priced. So the risks are that we get rather fewer than what is currently priced in, on account of unforeseen shocks that the globe may encounter. I mean, obviously, there's the unknown unknowns, which can certainly clearly have an impact on the rate at which the Fed can withdraw policy. And indeed, I think the risks are rather skewed to fewer rate hikes now than what is currently priced in. I think if you were to ask me that question, 6 months ago, we would have said that, clearly there were far too few rate hikes priced. And now we are in that situation. I think clearly the risks are that the risks are now that fewer rate hikes are now delivered relative to market expectations. So in terms of high yield, as I say, what is important about high yield return is not so much the interest rate cycle, it's the business cycle. We really are investing in businesses' cash flow, which obviously fluctuates with the business cycle.
But surely the interest rate risk makes those high yield bonds less attractive after a certain point.
As I say today, there's quite a significant amount, well, it's a very, very fully priced. In terms of interest rate expectations, I think it's very hard now for the Fed to surprise on the upside in what is now priced in into interest rates. So that central bank interest rate repricing is now behind us, in my view. And indeed, the aspects, the critical aspects that I think investors now have to deal with, really, when it comes to high yield, is the business cycle. Our view is that the business cycle is certainly slowing. I think that the consensus expectations remain too high, particularly in the US and China. And, China is driven by a weaker property backdrop and the US by a weaker consumption backdrop, driven by, obviously the high inflation that we're currently experiencing. So we do advocate, again, why we do advocate focusing on stable cash flow, more defensive businesses in this environment, which we think will continue to generate healthy returns for investors.
Looking sort of more in depth at Asian debt markets, how do you approach investment there after Evergrande? Is it really somewhere you can invest anymore? I mean, obviously it's a pretty active high yield market, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah. So, I mean, we look at the sector, look at the sector very closely, like very deeply. As with this fund and process, we operate right across the high yield space, from performing to special sits and distress. So we're very used to operating in sectors where there are very distressed dynamics, of which this property sector is one. That said, we like to understand our credit team, and given that these structures are offshore, and I'd say benefit inverted commas by a keep well agreement, and not a guarantee, credit guarantee. It's very, very hard for us to get comfortable from a credit perspective. So we have avoided the sector and remain out of the sector today.
Looking on the positive side, where are you seeing the best opportunities over the next year? And also the quarter. I know a quarter is not very long when you're looking at these kind of instruments, but you know, perhaps you could share your thoughts.
It is about being flexible in this environment, and I think focusing on areas and off the go that are more attractive from a risk return perspective, and away from being constrained too much by a benchmark. Today, we actually see rather less value in the US than we do in Europe, particularly the mid to lower echelons of the market. In Europe, you typically have more conservatively managed businesses from a credit perspective, so less leverage, more cash on balance sheet, and actually are less cyclical in many respects. But valuations today are much more favorable in Europe relative to the US. So from a relative value perspective, we see Europe is more favorable than the US today. And from business model perspective, we, as I say, like pricing power, we like cash generation and stable end demand dynamics. And so for the first time in a long while, we see actually significant value has opened up in the likes of healthcare, consumer staples and telco cable operators, where we see pricing pressures can be more easily passed on to end customers, and that's rather the opposite from what we see in commoditized areas, commoditized businesses, whether that's companies that sell very commoditized products that have rather weak purchasing power and high cost inflation are certainly areas of the market that we are avoiding at this point in time.
You mentioned obviously that you were particularly negative on Chinese high yield debt earlier on, but are there any other parts of the market that you're avoiding or sort of very concerned about default rates at the moment?
Yeah, so as I say, the US pickles, the lowest rungs of the high yield market in the US are quite expensive, in our view, and certainly an area that we are avoiding currently, or find very little appetite to get involved, and certainly this area of the market continuing to underperform as we go through 2022.
Sure. And there's been quite a few new issuances of high yield debt entering into the market, quite a lot of capital entering in, requests for capital, depending how you look at it. Are you concerned about some of the poor quality of these issuances?
I would say that some of the quality is you have to be very judicious, I would say, in terms of what one is getting involved in and what you're not getting involved in. In the new issue market, particularly M&A or LBO driven new issuance, we see that the leverage of the deals is high from a historical perspective, and the documentation is quite poor. It is in some respects the signs of animal spirits and corporate excess, let's say, that we see building, particularly in the US. And it's something we're quite cautious around, certainly.
Sure. Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining me today. Are there any other points that you'd like to add?
No, I think that's great. I think you covered a lot there and really enjoyed the chance to speak to you.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
This CityWire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.